We are continuing our short series on the Messianic Psalms. We move today to Psalm 16. Next week being Mother's Day, of course, I'll go in a different direction. And the Sunday following that will be a different direction again. And so we won't visit Psalm 22, which is the next, for about 3 weeks. So Psalm 16, hear the inerrant, inspired, holy word of God. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, if we take this psalm simply as it is written there, it's an incredible psalm of confidence, of trust. Many scholars, theologians, commentators refer to this psalm as the psalm of confidence, or David's golden secret. David's golden secret, meaning that he understood God's way with him, that he was at the Father's right hand through Jesus Christ, and that he was that one, as I gave the children, one that was protected by God. As we go back to chapter 2, David asked, why do the nations rage when they are fighting against his anointed? Don't they know they're fighting against God, not me? So David understands his position before God, and he writes this beautiful psalm, which I commend to you as a psalm of praise, but as a psalm of incredible confidence. David knew who he was, and he knew who God was, and he knew himself and his relationship to his God. And so it didn't matter what came upon him in his life, he knew where he stood, and that never changed. So taking this psalm at first glance like that, it's an incredible psalm. But I think when I give you the context of which we think, in the time frame of which we think this psalm was written, I think it'll take on a greater level of meaning to you. Please turn with me to 1 Samuel. You have your Bibles, 1 Samuel. If not, I'll read to you. I'm going to read to you anyway. You can join me there if you like. 1 Samuel. As I pointed out to the children, Saul is king. However, he has turned against God, and so now God has removed his favor from Saul, and he has appointed Samuel to go and anoint David to be king, yet that transition has not taken place, and so Saul is pursuing David and wants to kill him because he wants to remain king, to be king. So here is just a microcosm of the struggle that David is going through, and we believe it is about this time in which he wrote Psalm 16. So listen to his life at this time, yet he wrote an incredible psalm of confidence. 1 Samuel 24, when Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wild goats' rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, here is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you. Then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. David had opportunity to kill Saul right here. However, David, again, knowing God, knowing his provision of anointing, setting Saul in to be king, which God did, David would not lift his hand against Saul. Not because of Saul, but because of David's reverence and awe of God. He would not do anything against what God had put in place. Also, as we read in Deuteronomy and many places in the New Testament, vengeance is for the Lord, not for us. And so David knew as well that God would take care of Saul in due time. And by the end of the book of Samuel, Saul is dead. He actually kills himself after a battle. But here's the point of reading you this briefest of stories of Saul and David. This is the context of which, as I said, many believe that David wrote Psalm 16. Here he is sitting in the back of a cave, he and his men, hiding, running from Saul and his men who are seeking to kill him. So why would a man who is in this trial of treachery and deceit and this man out to kill him have such an ability to write words that, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my lot. I have no good apart from you. The Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." And it goes on and on and on. Here David is writing these wonderful words of confidence in God, even though Saul is trying to kill him. What does that tell you about God? What does that tell you about David? What does that tell you about a life of faith? A life of faith. Here, as I said, this psalm is called David's Golden Secret. It is called the Psalm of Confidence. And we take that, but when you understand the confidence that David had, even in that point in time when Saul is trying to kill him, he still has these words of understanding that it's God's provision for him. When he says, "The lions have fallen in pleasant places for me," it's a saying I hear Mark Ross say all the time. Because he, like David, sees the blessings of God, and so he quickly attributes to God that his lot in life, the lines drawn out in his life that God has laid out before him, are laid out in pleasant places. And he sees in God also that confidence that whatever comes, whatever life faces, whatever you face in life, it is what God has for you, but it is what God is going to walk you through. And see, there's the message of the psalm. There's the message of the psalm. And as I've said many times, I could go down every row, every person, and go through your story, go through the parts of your story that I've been involved with, the parts of your story that I'm aware of, and I'll go, "You could write this." But then to some of you, I'd have to say, "Is this how you feel? Is this your position? Given what God has done in your life, is this your position? Is this the testimony of faith that the folks around you would see?" When we face times of trials, we face times of hardship, as many will profess, and that's when you see a person's true character. It's also when you see a person's true faith. You know, as we said, it's easy to have faith when the sun's shining. You know, we could all go outside right now and enjoy the beautiful sunshine and it all be good and kumbaya and ain't we having fun. That's easy. I mean, that's good, but that's easy to do. There was a commercial many, many years ago talking about how hard life is. Life comes at you fast. It was an insurance company. Life comes at you fast, meaning that everything ain't positive. And so, yes, that's the life we have to live. We lose loved ones. Our children don't do like we thought they should. Our parents don't do like we think they should. Excuse me?
Amen.
Amen. Easy, brother. You're about to tell on... Never mind. And so... I told my Sunday school class that I've had a challenge with this sermon all week long. I've rewritten it 3 times, and the notes I've written are on the pulpit, and I just basically threw them away because I didn't know what was in this message. But when I look out across you guys, and as I said, I know your stories, and everybody here's got one. A story of rejoicing, a story of hope, a story of fun, but also a story of great pain. A story where life did not turn out like I had planned. It was not my plan to lose my daughter at 16. It was not your plan to lose your husband after 8 years. It was not your plan to end up with a disease that has taken. It was not your plan to lose your brother. It was not your, you know, we could go down the road. Your brother, pick one. Illness. We would like to write another story. But then God enters in. God enters in. And he takes that story. He takes that opportunity to say, this is who I am. Are you aware fully of who I am? And I pray every one of us, again, Saul's trying to kill this man. Yet he writes, I have set the Lord before me. He's at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. It doesn't matter what comes. I will not be shaken. The Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot. Meaning, I understand. See we preach and teach the omnipotence, the omniscience, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the sovereignty of God. And those are great characteristics. Those are great testimonies. And they're great to have. But when your husband passes or your children don't and your disease... Do you still believe those things? See, this is the point of the message. We should have the confidence in God always. It should, I pray it never waver. It never wavers. But there's an issue here that has to be brought out. David makes this statement. He says in verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Sheol is the Old Testament teaching of the grave, the consumption of darkness, the fullness and the consumption of the grave. It's not only the act of dying, but it is the darkness and the consumption of all that's the aspects of that. It's a very full and pregnant word, but basically here he's using it as, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, to the depths of the grave. Then in verse 10, or the latter part of that, he says, or let your Holy One see corruption. Now, that teaching, the corruption, meaning you will not let my body see the decay of Sheol. You will not let my body see the decay of death. David wrote this. David died in the mid-900s B.C. I think his body is decayed. Just thinking. I'm just saying. I believe it is. So he is writing here not about himself. But who is he writing about? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I refer to this as the Messianic Psalm. Up until this point, we have said nothing about the Messiah. Until now. Peter is preaching. Peter turned into an awesome preacher. Peter is preaching, chapter 2, verse 29. 2:29 Acts. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. His tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with him an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, to the grave, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. King David was a patriarch, but he was also filling the shoes at periods of time as a prophet, meaning he prophesied that which was to come. Was he a true prophet? Yes, because this he prophesied, that the Holy One would not see corruption, pointing to Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ would, yes, die, but that his body would not see corruption. David was writing about the resurrection. That's why this is a messianic psalm, because Psalm 16 is pointing to the resurrection. Okay, why would David include these words about the resurrection in this beautiful psalm of confidence? Because David's confidence was not for this life alone. David's confidence grew out of the fact that God would be his portion even in death. Because Jesus Christ would not see corruption, would not be held by that grave, and would resurrect and then ascend into heaven. David knew that was his lot as well. And see, there's where the confidence comes in. As Paul teaches, if we believe in Jesus Christ for this life alone, we are the most to be pitied. Now, Jesus Christ is great for this life. I'm teaching you right now about confidence through this life and through the trials now. But the true confidence comes when we leave this place and go to that place of which the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. And see, there's the root, there's the base for David's confidence. He knew if Saul walked into that cave and ran a spear through him and he died right there, he would write the same psalm. He would write the same psalm because he knew God had his portion, his lot in life, the lines drawn out and fell in pleasant places for him. Again, this is the teaching for us and our faith. Our faith, that gift, that beautiful, mystical gift we've been given of faith. This is what we exemplify. This is what we hold on to. This is what gets us through these days. As I said, I've been struggling with the psalm all week, exactly how to package. But on Thursday, it began to fall together. I went to visit, I'm glad Michael and Linda aren't here right now. I went to visit Alton and Gay Pope. Hospice has been called in for Alton, and his breathing is laborious. His time is drawing near, but when I visited, the nurse had just been there, and with her activities with him, and so Alton was exhausted and was not responsive at all. So I had the opportunity to talk with Gay. Gay made a statement to me. She said, "I just don't know how I'll make it through this." Gay had a pacemaker put in Monday, so her health is not. She's not been healthy for a long time. But when she made that statement, she said, "I don't know how I will make it through this." And I said, "Gay, you won't. You won't alone. I opened up my Bible and I read her Psalm 16. And I said, Gay, let me tell you the story of David right here. And I told her the whole story. And I said, Gay, at this point in time in your life, I pray this is your story. This is your song. This is your confidence. Because what's about to take place in your life through the passing of Alton, and then her own health, the dear lady should be in the hospital, this psalm began to come together for me. And then I thought about all of you and your different stories and your different places and what we as a church have been through, what you personally have been through, what you're going through right now. I hope all of us, like David, can praise God for all of his blessings here now. But then, like David, say, therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. And in the times that we have, if we profess this kind of thing, it will have impact. It will have impact on you as the Holy Spirit continues to build and to grow you. It will have impact on your family. How beautiful a testimony it is when you see a loved one going through trials and heartaches and all of this, and they go, yes, but God. Yes, but God. Yes, but God. How can you have your head up so high when everything has happened to you the way it has? Phyllis, you stood here after your son passed away, and you gave a beautiful story just the week later, a testimony of a week later. How can you do that? The world doesn't understand. That's exactly right. Just like David. Just like David. Folks, God, Jesus Christ said, the world hated me, it will hate you. It is not going to be an easy life for the Christian. Don't look for it. Don't expect it. Be shocked when it comes. We worship a suffering servant. Therefore, we, following in his shoes, will find that same path of life. The last verse. David writes, you make known to me the path of life. Not here. The path of life. Your presence there is fullness and joy. Not here, there. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. I've said this many times. I'm with John. Last chapter of Revelation. Come, Lord Jesus, even today. I'm good now. I'm ready. Let's go. Are you? Can you, along with David, say, there are the pleasures of life. There are the pleasures of life. You have laid those out for me. As I mentioned earlier this week at Power Cross, about 300 or so made professions of faith. I pray they're all earnest. There was one young lady that caught my eye. She had blue hair. She had blue hair. I think she was there. The nights I was there, she was there. But the first night, the second night, she came, went up front and prayed, and then she come running back. She was hugging. She was finding people. She was hugging. She was finding people to hug. It didn't matter. If I'd have been close, she'd have hugged me. That one was true. That one was earnest. That heart was changed. And so she now, and just the visual, I don't know the young lady, but I would imagine a very troubled life. I pray she understands the joy and the hope that David does. I pray someone comes along behind her, beside her, and teaches her that. Folks, again, I didn't know where God was taking this, and I still don't know if I found a place to set it down anywhere. If there's confidence in a person on this green earth, it should be with a Christian. It should be with a Christian. Don't look at the world. Don't look at what's around us, because it ain't there. If there's any confidence, let us understand David's golden secret. And it ain't a secret. His confidence in God. Father, I'll take these words and plant them deep with your spirit. Put them in a place to do your work. Let us all live such lives of confidence from a position of strength, not of weakness, not of timidity, not of fear. As Job says, even though he slay me, I will praise him. The lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. Lines have fallen in pleasant places for me. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.